Joining us right now is, you know him, you love him. It's John Harris. John, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well, boys. How are we doing?
We're doing well. We're kind of slicing and dicing our way through Brian Gaines' press conference. There's not a whole lot to, I guess, get overly excited or overly critical about. But was there anything you took away from that perhaps you weren't thinking before you went into the press conference?
No, not really. I got a chance to know Brian in the, 3 years he was here before he went up to Buffalo. So I don't know if I was surprised, dismayed, upset. I felt like it was a good press conference, and you know, it's funny. I did think about this as it was going on, because I knew the reaction was going to be, you know, did he win the press conference? Because
yeah,
that's always, you know, especially college coaches. Did the college coach win the press conference? And I started thinking about how foolish that is. Like, who cares? You know, it's all about you know what gets done from this point forward. You know, recognizing what the issues are for this team, why this team went 4-12, and look, injuries were a big factor, but that can't be the it's just injuries. No, it's not just injuries, but going beyond that. And I think he was very clear about evaluating every aspect of this football team and doing it in a fairly concise but thorough manner to make sure that when they get to free agency, they've got a plan, and then when they get to the draft, they've got an even more significant plan, because they won't have a first or second round pick. Now, I know some people are like, well, I wish they had a first round pick. I don't, because it meant they got Deshaun Watson. So I will not complain about not having a first round pick, because they've got two thirds and more than likely getting another one with the compensatory pick they'll probably get from the A.J. Boye deal. So I think they'll have three, which means they can move up into the second round. But to me, it was just very matter of fact, and I was not surprised, because, like I said, I've known Brian for a while, so I just knew that was the way he handled it. I thought he handled all the questions very well, spoke eloquently, and now it's time to go to work.
Talking to John Harris, and John, I got to take exception with you, because you're my favorite person associated with the station. You come on here, you basically hike your leg on the first 2 hours of our show, and you personally flip off the podium critic myself, who likes to talk about guys winning the press conference. So I got to say, take an exception with you today.
Well, that's okay. I understand, because we're in that time of year where you can only talk about the Rockets going into the Clippers locker room so much. So you've got to have something to talk about. And I guess this is the thing for me. It's, you know, being in the building, I see the changes kind of every day. So it's more kind of prevalent. Whereas, you know, the Texans just hired a brand new GM. I can understand where people are excited about the possibilities, and they don't know Brian Gaines. So what this, you know, who is this guy? You know, what's he all about? But I think that was just, for me, it was a different vein, because I've known him. And, you know, I know people, when Bill O'Brien got the job, everybody was, you know, talking about his press conference. And I was like, well, I was just, you know, like, listen to him back in college, because I've known Bill for a long time. So it just takes on a little bit of a different form for me than it does for everybody else, because we see it every day. We see everything happening, you know, right in front of us for the most part, unless we're frozen out with all this weather that's been going on. But for the most part, we've known Brian, so it was not as big a deal as it would have been if it was, you know, Brian Gutekunst, who came from Green Bay, or somebody we didn't know a whole lot about. I think it would have been a little bit more, oh man, what did he really have to say? I kind of had a feeling I knew what Brian was going to say yesterday, so it was really not as much a surprise. And look, I would not hike my leg on your show or you guys in any way, shape, or form. You guys are my boys.
Oh, it's too late. It's too late.
Landry's going to carry this to the grave. John, as people are watching the games this weekend, obviously one of the things people are talking about is how are you going to prove the offensive line, and that the free agency class for offensive tackles does not look like it's going to be a very strong one at all. The most notable name on there is Nate Solder, left tackle for the New England Patriots. I personally would put him as an average offensive tackle at this point in his career, who's on the wrong side of 30. But I'm looking at what some maybe overpriced free agents have done for teams like the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm not so sure that I'm opposed to maybe signing Nate Solder to a contract that's worth more than he actually is worth. Where are you with something like that?
Yeah, it's interesting, because that's a name that pops up and it makes a lot of sense. You know, OB coached him in New England. He's got a young son right now who I believe has cancer, and they're going through treatments, and you know, where would you want to be with a child at that point? You'd want to be in this city of Houston. So, yeah, I think because of the Texans' issues on the offensive line, I think agents understand that, and they know how the game is played. So I think they're going to play the value to you guys is a lot higher than it might be to some others. And so I'm going to play that for all it's worth. And that's the thing. And this happens every year in free agency. Oh, my God, we just paid that guy what? Well, keep in mind, it's all about market. There are very few teams that bid against themselves, and there are a few teams out there, and hopefully the Texans are not one of them, but there's the price you have to – there's a price of business here, and maybe for Nate Solder – look, I agree with you, Seth. Absolutely. Everything you said is dead on, I think, about Nate Solder. But if he's a guy that you can put there for a couple of years and get good, solid football out of him while some other guys start to grow up, i.e. Julion Davenport, Kyle Fuller, some of the guys you drafted can grow up a little bit, and that line gets a little bit more experience, that maybe in this draft you find a left tackle in the third round that's got some ability, but he's not ready right away. And maybe Solder buys that guy some time until he is ready. He passes the torch, and you move on from there. So I don't think he's a guy you pencil in or think he's going to play the next 5 to 7 years. But if you feel like, hey, man, I'm going to get another couple of good years out of Nate Solder, then I might be prone to do it. After Solder, and that's the other thing, after Solder, it drops off precipitously. There's not a whole lot there at the tackle position. The good news is in the draft, it's a little deeper at that position than it was, I think, last year, which is going to push some players down into the third and fourth round where the Texans might be able to get another guy that they can build that has some promise. But if you have a guy like Nate Solder, then that buys that player some time, whereas Julion Davenport didn't have that time. He needed to be ready right away, but he wasn't going to be. So that, to me, is what Solder brings as far as value goes. Even if it's just for a couple of years, I still think it's of value to the Texans and to Deshaun Watson in this offense.
He's John Harris. If you're not following John Harris on Twitter, you should be. JHarrisFootball on Twitter. And this time of year especially, John does the college draft better than just about anybody else out there. John, really appreciate you coming on this morning.
You got it, boys. Thank you very much. And Landry, again, so sorry, my friend.
That's all right.
Landry, I forgive you.
Yeah, he says he does. He's got a look on his face.